Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm glad you're here today. We're in the book of John. Book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the four Gospels. Chapter 14, John chapter 14, beginning verse 1. We're kind of wrapping up, maybe, unless the Holy Spirit tells me something different. We're wrapping up this series on the word abide, A-B-I-D-E, abide. We've been reading in John 15 where if we abide in Christ, then we'll produce fruit, fruit that will last. And so we've had this five-part series on the word abide. The A stands for acknowledging the relationship. Our Father who art in heaven, that's the relationship. The second one is bless his name, hallowed be thy name. The third one is invite him to speak, thy kingdom come. And the fourth one is to do what he says. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the fifth point today is the E in the word abide, and that's to experience his presence. Just to experience his presence. So let's read. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now we read this a lot at funerals. Probably every funeral you've ever attended, this verse has been read. It's a great verse to read for that. But it's a great verse to read every day, even if you're not at a funeral. Okay? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. That's a whole sermon right there, but that's for another day. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus is always pointing us to the Father. I keep saying this over and over again, and it's so true. We need to learn to love and listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to love and listen to Jesus. But we also need to learn to love and listen to our Father in heaven. And that's what Jesus was saying. I'm pointing you to my Father. You need to know Dad. You need to know Abba, Father. He's amazing to get to know him. In my Father's house, I'm in rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. That's a whole other sermon right there. Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe with all my heart. He promised he would come the first time in the Old Testament. He did. He promised in the New Testament he's coming back again. And he is. I will come back and take you to be with me. That you also may be where I am. Now you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going. How in the world can we know the way? That's pretty translated. What are you talking about? We don't have a clue where you're going. So how in the world can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the way. No one can get to the Father except through me. I am the gate. I am the door. All the metaphors that Jesus used, I am that which allows you to enter into the presence of the Father. It's amazing what Jesus has done for us. That's why we need to give glory to his name and praise him. He opened the door and said, there's Dad. Go have a conversation with him. We want to stay on this side of the door and say, no, you go ahead, Jesus. You go talk to the Father. Come back and tell him what to say. Right? That's kind of how God says, please, come in the house. I'll have a conversation. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. Well, Philip had to join in the conversation. Now, Thomas and Philip and the guys sitting around, Philip said, Lord, if you'll just show us your Father, that'll be enough for us. You see, in that culture, the Father was everything. Father passed on his wisdom, his discernment. He passed on discipline. He passed on how to get involved in a trade, you know, whether it's working with wood or stone, or whether it's taking care of sheep, or things like that. The Father passed those things on, and the sons were so excited because the Father was going to pass them on. They couldn't wait. And so in this setting, when Jesus said, I'll introduce you to my Father, they were so excited because if Jesus was doing all this stuff, he had to have learned it from the Father. So we want to meet that guy, right? We want to meet him because of how his son has been raised. Ever met somebody and you're going, man, that's just an amazing person. And you thought, they must have good parents. Have you ever thought that or said that about somebody? They must have really good parents. I'd like to meet them, right? That's what they were saying. Philip said, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know him, Philip? even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And we'll come back to this verse because it's really important. But I need to finish the rest of it. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his work. Really important. We'll come back to that in a minute. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In John chapter 12, verse 48, 49, Jesus says, the words that are coming out of my mouth are not my words. The Father has told me what to say, and he's told me how to say it. Right? There's two different things, right? What a person is saying is one thing, and how they say it is another thing, right? Somebody can say, I love you. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of love, does it? Someone says, man, I really love you. Right? So it's what is being said and how it's being said. So when we get to the passages, like I've said over and over again, written in red, where Jesus is speaking. We have to be wise and discerning as to who is speaking in that moment, because Jesus says, sometimes the Father can speak through me, and sometimes it's me speaking. You get that, right? Don't be freaked out by that. Jesus speaks what the Father tells him to speak, and then there's occasions where Jesus is speaking himself. He says, the Father has told me how to say all of this. So look at verse 9. He says, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you for such a long time? Two different people are speaking here. The first one in this verse is Abba Father. Watch this now. Watch this. This is important. Abba Father says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, don't you know me? This is the Father speaking through Jesus to Philip. Don't you know me? And then Jesus chimes back in. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, right? Jesus says, look, if you've seen me, you've seen all the Father in heaven. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? You know, as you read the words in red that Jesus spoke, as you read it, make sure your understanding is actually the Father speaking to you on many of these occasions. It will change your world. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is an exact representation of the Father. He's an exact representation. There's no shadow of turning, right? There's no gray area where Jesus is representing his Father. Right? He's an exact representation of our Father in heaven. So what does that mean for us? Well, I mean, the Lord just downloaded this message for me just in like 5 minutes. It's one of those things where you say, whoosh, here, I want you to write this down. So I've written this down. How do we experience his presence? As we are abiding in him, learning to hear his voice, learning to see him at work, understanding that it's the Father speaking to us through his Son Jesus or through the Holy Spirit as we hear his voice himself. How do we experience his presence? How do we experience that love that takes place? John chapter 1 through 14. Watch this. Watch how it unfolds. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Even in the beginning of creation, our Father was involved in making that happen. When you look out here at the trees, when you look out here at the flowers and the animals, when you look at the ocean, which none of us get enough of, right? Amen? We all need more ocean. When we look at those things, that's the Father who was at work creating that for you. He was creating it for you. He created the fields for you to run in. He created cats for you to ignore. Because they ignore you, right? He created dogs to pat on the head, right? He created these things for us. The Father did. Chapter 2, we had the story of we had a story of Jesus turning the water into wine. He went to a wedding. Right? He He's hanging out at the wedding. His mom's there. I guess the brothers, the whole town's there because it was a big event. It's like a week-long thing. The wedding was a week-long thing. And it all was focused on the groom, not the bride. Nowadays, it's all focused on the bride, not the groom. Right? And so they waited and waited for the groom to get all the final details taken care of, and then the wedding started. So here we are at the wedding feast, right? And they had some wine. They were drinking, and they ran out of wine. And somebody said, hey, we ran out of wine, right? And so Jesus' mama, you know, maybe she was the person in charge, who knows. She went to Jesus and said, look, we didn't run out of wine. And Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, well, we need some wine. So Jesus took all these barrels of water and he turned them into wine, right? And he presented them, and the host said, this is the best wine I've ever had. It's just the best I've ever tasted, right? That was the Father doing that. The Father was saying, I'm right here. I got this. I'm right here. I got this. Jesus said it was the Father doing his work through him. Jesus was just there, and the Father said, we're going to take care of this. The Father, listen, this is important. The Father loved the wedding. The Father loved the wedding. He loved the wedding party. He loved it so much they turned water into wine so they could continue to enjoy the wedding and have a good time at the wedding. Right? The Father said, I'm here. I'm here. Chapter 3 of John, we have the story of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night because he was embarrassed to come to Jesus during the daytime because all of his Pharisee friends would pick on him, right? And maybe kick him out of the Pharisee club, right? You can't play reindeer games with us anymore. You're out, right? Get out. But he came to him at night and started talking. And Jesus said, you got to be born again. That was the Father. Saying, Nicodemus, man, I love you. You're smart, you're brilliant, you're wise, you're wealthy. I really love you. But you got to be born again. That's the one thing you love. You got to be born again. It's the Father speaking to Nicodemus, saying, I'm right here. And I want you to come live with me forever. Will you make that decision? John chapter 4. We have the story of the woman at the well, right? Middle of the day, she had a bad reputation. The women in the town. And so she had to come draw water in the heat of the day because all the other women came and drew water out of the well at sunrise when it was cool. Right? They could get the water out, not as labor intensive. She was there in the middle of the day. And Jesus and the boys walked by and they went on to another town. And Jesus sat down to talk to her. And he said, could you give me something to drink, please? You got a bucket to dip down the well? I don't have anything. And she said, well, okay, but. And they start this conversation. Right? They start a conversation about religion and where you're supposed to worship and how you're supposed to worship. Jesus is just drilling down, right? It looks like, now that's the Father. The Father's saying, you're my child. I want to rescue you from religion. I want to rescue you from this bondage that you're in. And most importantly, I want to rescue you from the shame that you feel because of what you've done in your life. Right? He said, I'll give you living water. The Father's saying to her, I will give you living water. You don't have to be embarrassed anymore about what you did. Right? I want to erase that. The Father is speaking to me. Chapter 5, we have the man who's at the pool. And he's sick and he can't get in the pool. And Jesus walks by and he calls him out. And Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to get well? That's not Jesus. That's the Father speaking through Jesus. The Father is saying, you're my child. You're one of my special ones. Tell me what it is you want. And you would think that's an obvious question, right? But the Father knew he had to draw out what the man really wanted in his heart. And still today, the Father looks at all of us and says, what is it really in your heart? What's really in your heart? Right? What is it you really need? And the reason the Father calls it out is because he wants us to search long enough till we can find out what it is we really need. Because some of the things we think we need, those are just wants. Those are just passing, trivial things that will never help us at all. Sometimes the Father continues to say no to our prayers because we haven't gotten to the best prayer yet. We're on the prayers that are kind of, you know, down here. And God says, now I need you to keep praying until you get to this prayer because this is the one I really want to answer. I really want you to have this, Jim. You keep asking for this. Ask me for this. And so we keep praying down here and praying down here. Prayers don't get anywhere. Prayers don't get anywhere. But the man said, I don't want to be wealthy. I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to drive a Lamborghini. You know, all those things we might think are wants, right? He said, I just want to be one. The Father says, you got it. You got it. Because you're my child. Chapter 6. Jesus is talking. He's out on the hillside there. 5,000 people show up to listen to him talk. And when he got lunch time, when he got supper time, they were all hungry. I'm guessing some of them were hangry. You ever been angry? That's hungry and angry put together. That's when you just get out of my way. I got to bite something, right? I open the refrigerator. Whatever's in there, it's just going in the mouth immediately, right? If it's in the pantry, I'm just gnawing on it, right? There were 5,000 people that were hangry. And the Lord said, those are my children. They need food. They need food. They need food so they can sit and listen to Jesus a little bit longer. Because I got some more things they need to hear. Father said, I'm right here. I'll take care of this. And he provided them fish sandwiches. Right? Chapter 7. Jesus told them, or so we seem, or so it seems. He said, if you are thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And wells of living water will rise up within him. Right? Speaking of the Holy Spirit. So here we have the Father saying, I know you're hungry. I know you're thirsty. Just like they were thirsty and hungry for real food, right, in chapter 6 and chapter 7. Now they're hungry for spiritual food. They just don't know where to go because religion has been telling them to drink sand over and over and over again. Religion says, drink this sand, it's water. Drink this sand, it's water. Drink this sand, it's water. And we've all bought into it at some point in our lives. We've tasted the sand and go, I'm sure this is water. And somebody says, yeah, that's water. That's water. Just keep drinking. It's water. And we realize, no, it's just sand. Just sand. And the Father says, stop drinking sand. Stop drinking that which will not satisfy. It's only going to make you thirsty. Drink water. The Father says, I'm offering you water. Drink deeply from this well. Chapter 8. We find the woman caught in adultery. You know, I would say that all of us as Christians have committed adultery when it comes to our relationship with our Father in heaven. We've chosen something else to follow. Maybe for a brief moment. Maybe for a long moment. We've chosen another. We've chosen another bride or groom, if you want to use that analogy. So we can all relate to this one. We've all done something that we would like to hide forever. We've all done something that we're ashamed of. We've all said something we're ashamed of. Wish we could take it back, but you can't. What's done is done. Crack the egg open, the egg's been cracked open. You can't put it back together. But our Father says, I got this. I'm not here. So tender with the woman at the well, caught in adultery. I don't know where the man was. Why was he dragged into the center of town, right? That's a whole other story. The Father says, I don't see anybody around condemning you anymore. You who are without sin cast the first stone. And they all walked away. From the oldest to the youngest. They walked away. Listen, when we're caught in adultery, when we're caught in turning our back on the Father, when we're caught in that brief moment of saying, God, I'm not going to do it. When we find, God still comes to us. Our Father still comes to us and says, I'm right here. I saw that. I'm right here, though. I saw that, but I'm still right here. I'm not going anywhere. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to you as a child is to make a mistake. You're at the table and you spill the milk, you know, and it's an accident, you know, on purpose. And your father walk away and said, I'm not speaking to you again. You're ridiculous. You're clumsy. You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're a moron. And walk away and never talk to you again. What kind of earthly father would that be? Horrible, right? Our Heavenly Father is not like that. Our Heavenly Father says, you spilled the milk, let me grab some paper towels. Let's you and I get down here and clean this up. And the Heavenly Father stoops down. The Bible says, God stoops down to make us great. Because we're his children. Why would he want to make us horrible, terrible, stupid? Why would our Heavenly Father doesn't want that for us? He He wants us to be like his son, Jesus. So he stoops down in the midst of our adultery and says, I got this. I'm right here. You're healed. Go and sin no more. Chapter 9, we find the blind man who was walking around and looking for help and heard about Jesus. And Jesus healed his eyes. And they questioned him later on. He said, I don't know if he's good or bad. They questioned the blind man who was healed. I don't know if he's good or bad, he said. I just know that once I was blind and now I can see. Right? The father said, my son needs to see. The father said, I'm right here. I got this. Chapter 10, we find that Jesus is the great shepherd. But it's really our father who shepherds all of us. Our heavenly father loves to shepherd us. Hey, don't go there. Here's some fresh grass. Here's some water, some still water for you to drink. Hey, don't go there. There's wolves over there. Hey, I'm gonna take care of this wolf over here. You just stay right here in the sheep pen. I got this. I'm right here. That's how we experience his presence. Chapter 11, we find Lazarus being raised from the dead. Mary and Martha were crying and carrying on because Lazarus had died. They'd sent messages to Jesus, and Jesus waited 4 days to come. They met him when he came in, and Martha said, if you'd just been here, Jesus wouldn't have died, you know, all upset. And Jesus said, okay, it's for the glory of God. And, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible, 11:35, where it says, and Jesus wept. And I told you what I think. My gemology is that Jesus wept because he had to bring Lazarus back from the grave, and now Lazarus had to live his life out again and die one more time. And Jesus knew that he'd been there in the glory of the Father in heaven, and now he's going to come back and see earth all over again. Jesus wept. But it was the Father who said, Lazarus, come forward. He spoke through Jesus and said, Lazarus, come forward. You're my son, come forward. And maybe the Father told him when he was in heaven already. He said, look, I've got an assignment for you. It's not the best assignment in the world, but I need your help. All right? I'm going to send you back. And Lazarus is going to do what? I've been in heaven 4 days with you, chilling out, and all that. You're going to send me back in what? Do it. He wept. That's a good one. That's good. He wept. That's good. And he sent him back to the glory of God the Father. Chapter 12, Jesus is praying, Father, glorify yourself. And the voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified you, and I will continue to glorify you. Continue to honor you, he said. And the Father spoke to his own son and said, son, I love you. I love you. You're doing amazing things. I love you. And I'm going to continue to love you, and I'm going to continue to honor you. Chapter 13, we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's the Father. The Father said, I love you guys. Man, y'all amazing. You followed my son. You've believed in my son. And I'm going to wash your feet because you have believed in my son. That's the Heavenly Father washing our feet. Father says, I'm right here. And then we get to this passage in John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will come to him and make our home. Jesus wants to come make his home with you. He wants to come live with you. He wants to come live in you, with you, around you, so that you can experience the Father, so that you can experience the Son, so you can experience the Holy Spirit. The Father desires that for you. Do you get that? Abba Father wants to move in with you, in spite of you, in spite of what you think of you, in spite of what done or said or whatever. The Father still wants to move in with you. You know, there's a group of people called influencers today, right? And if you take off enough clothes, you supposedly can influence people, right? Apparently that's what it looks like, right? Take off enough clothes, and take a picture and put it on there, and you're influencing 2 million people, right? Ooh, wow, cool. How many of those influencers would want to come live with you? If you call them up right now and say, I'm a follower, I've been following you for 10 years, and you're a great influencer. Love those skimpy clothes you wear, right? Would you come live in my house? How many of them would say yes? If you called the President of the United States, any one of them, for 250 years, I'm not picking on one, and said, hey, would you come live in my house? Do you think they would? Would the famous movie actor, pick one, actress, would they come live in your house? Probably not. I live in a mansion. Why would we come live in your house, right? But the God of all creation created heaven, earth, the sun, the sky, and trees, and flowers, and dogs, and cats, and frogs, and hogs. Who created all that says, you don't even have to ask him. He says, I want to come live in your house. Will you let me? I'm standing at the door knocking. You didn't have to send him an invitation. You didn't have to be his follower. You didn't have to sign up for all that. He's standing at your door right now saying, can I come live with you? What an amazing Father we have who wants to come live with us, even without us inviting him to come live with us. He's standing and knocking. I'm right here, he said. I'm right here. This week, I want you to ponder the fact that he's right here. And hear his voice. Experience his presence. And let him speak to your tender heart. And hear him say, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. Because he is. Knocking at the door. Just open it. I'm right here. You didn't have to beg. Will you open the door to the Father in his love and his experience? Will you? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you stand at our door and knock. You've never left us nor forsaken us. You're always right here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are an amazing, loving, wonderful, benevolent Father. Help us to understand that more this week. Help us to experience your presence and your love. As many before us have experienced that, like we just read in the book of John. Now come, Holy Spirit, help us to see how our Father is working our life. Be our guide, our counselor. Show us, Holy Spirit, how the Father is working our life. Make it real and plain to us. May we experience it this week like we've never experienced. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us. And thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. You opened the door by dying on the cross for our sins, for coming back to life, and for living in us, and for being the door and the gate that opens up into our Father's presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. For we pray in your name, Jesus, your wonderful, beautiful name, Emmanuel, God with us, Yeshua. In the name of Jesus, we pray.